Good evening. Welcome to the latest episode of the Talking Talkie podcast. I'm Sam Drew, and this evening I'm joined by Matty Hayward.
Hi, mate. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to see you, mate. Good to see you. Unfortunately, on Saturday, I decided to stay in Devon. You decided to go to wherever in the country Tonbridge play, presumably Tonbridge.
Yeah.
How was your day out?
Oh, I mean, the day out in Kent was brilliant, actually. It's a nice town.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was very early to be chucking out that sort of language. It's a lovely little town. It's got some nice pubs. You can walk from the station to the ground. Yeah, the day out was fine. Obviously, it was ruined by the football, and I think your decision to make to stay in Devon was not unfortunate at all, but it was the correct decision, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I did keep track of it. I listened to the first half because I was cleaning the bathroom. I mean, I'm not going to show you, but it's looking fantastic.
Good, good.
I listened to the first half, but yeah, went out during the second half and quite pleased, really, because, I mean, Martin Gritton was summarising. He said for the first half we seemed all right, and basically until they scored we seemed all right, and it was probably against run of play. But as we've kind of come to expect with this crop of players, as soon as we concede that first goal, that's it. It's curtains.
Absolutely, yeah. I think sort of there were three chances in the first half. We had one massive one from Jarvis. Ash sort of came down the right hand side and squared it to him, and he literally. He was, I don't know, 12 yards out, and all he needed to do was pop it in the back of the net, and he took a very heavy touch. I think if he had taken it first time, he would have scored. I think if he'd taken a good touch and hit it second time, he would have scored, but he took a bad first touch and he was smothered. Hansen had a good chance before that from a corner, which was well saved by Halstead. And then they scored after Jarvis's miss. But Gavin lost his battle in the middle. They ran down the left and it was just a ball across the 6 yard box that we didn't deal with, and they had a man at the back post who was more than happy to take the opportunity.
I mean, look, it's one of those, isn't it? There are two players in yellow, or three players in yellow that you mentioned there that I actually wanted to speak about. Brett McGavin, I mean this with the greatest respect, his goals have really papered over the cracks of his kind of entire game this season, I think. Don't get me wrong. What he does in terms of his long-range shooting and scoring is phenomenal. I'd say he's probably the best since Luke Young in terms of his ability to score from range. But his all-round football and his all-round game it's poor. It's you know, I do think he's kind of out of his depth.
Yeah,
in the full-time football side,
he's been absolute garbage recently. I'm sorry to say. He, as you say, he's good shooting from range. His passing range is all right, but it's the same problem that he had all of last season. He's far too slow, and his actual ball control isn't that good as well. So, a couple of times during the game, he gave the ball away in very, very dangerous positions. And when we appear to be playing a brand of football now where we try to build out from the back and we try to play through the lines, which requires good defenders who are good on the ball, but also a holding midfielder is good on the ball, and he isn't good enough. And I think it probably is time for him to take some time out of the team, actually, and go with Dawson and Lapsley or Jenkins Davis in there as well, because I think he probably just would benefit from a couple of games out, because he just hasn't been good enough recently, I'm afraid. I agree with you.
No, I agree. I mean, Dawson, I think, you know, I'm disappointed in the fact that he's not been available for most of the season, but I must admit, he's looked good since coming back. And I say that generously. No one's looked good recently, but he has, you know, he has looked all right. Two of the other players mentioned now, Ash and Jarvis. I think there's almost this narrative that Ash is the secondary player and Jarvis is the main man. My mindset's completely shifted. I went to the Taunton game the other week, and Jarvis's attitude was well off. Any misplaced pass from a teammate, he was waving his arms. Anything that didn't go his way, he was throwing his toys out the pram. And you think, mate, we're in a relegation scrap here. Just play the game. Don't get upset about things. because he take away his penalties, whisper it quietly, he's really, I think he's been very underwhelming this season.
I think you are. I think you're right. I still see him as a senior partner to Ash, only because I don't really rate Ash either. But maybe we'll come to that in a minute. But yeah, the problem is he is of a quality of footballer, I think, where he could be winning games in this league by himself. Really, I think it. There were games even last season. I'm thinking of Dorking away, which I know he didn't win, but he just made a goal out of nothing, scored a screamer from the edge of the box,
Yeah, and
and
he's
it was
got
just.
that's what frustrates me, because we know he
Yeah,
can do it.
exactly. He has got a level of talent that shouldn't be at this league, I think. But I do agree that his attitude recently has been below expectations. I know. Listen, I would probably be very frustrated if I was him as well. You're looking at he's probably been offered or promised the world at the over the summer and go on. I'll take the risk. I'll stay here rather than possibly moving on. And clearly, that's not worked for him. But also, you're right. He's got a duty as a professional footballer to put some effort in and
Yeah.
to do his best to win a game of football. And the minute it does look like he's more interested in arguing with officials or his own teammates.
Yeah, and that's what frustrates me. I think I know how good he is or how good he can be. So it's like, just play at that level, please.
Yeah.
And yeah, then Ash, I thought he was a bit of a, I heard mixed reviews about him before he came in. Someone who I know who watches Weymouth regularly has summed him up perfectly. Scores a lot of goals, but leaves you frustrated, which I think is fair. He has scored in any other season. You'd think, well, really good return from two strikers. But he does frustrate. But what I like about him is he seems to kind of, he reminds me almost of Billy Keogh. He will just keep working, keep working, keep working, even if that kind of sounds harsh to say, but that natural talent maybe not quite there, but he will keep working, and that's where he gets his rewards in terms of his goals.
Yeah, he's got his attitude is what Jarvis lacks, isn't it? He doesn't have the talent, but you can see why he has scored goals at this level because he works his socks off and he gets in the right positions and he's not clinical in front of goal, is he? But he does take some chances and I think he is capable of playing it in a good team at this level because of that energy and because of the fact that he should get a lot of chances. But I do think a lot of our problems don't stem from our strike force, who I think are both all right slash quite good. The problem is they've spent the whole season not getting chances and having to try and score three or four every game to win it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Our problems have stemmed all season from the defence.
Yeah.
And you could argue that last season, it amazes me that the quality of the football in Scotland, that someone really did kind of come in and make an effort to sign Sean Donnellan. And I liked Sean, but wasn't. He's not been missed, has he? Let's be honest.
Not at all.
But I don't know where we go with this defence. It sounds bad. I just don't think any of them are quite up to it.
I agree. I've said this before, but I think the signing of Austin Booth, and to be fair to the lad, he didn't even play on Saturday, so he's taking strays where he didn't deserve them. But
Whatever you're about to say is justified. That performance against Taunton was shambolic. It was absolutely shambolic.
I'm
And
sure it
I
was.
feel bad saying that because he's a Torquay fan and we all want them to do well. But that was one of those, it was genuinely thought, wow, okay, if this is the level, then people won't be buying tickets, season tickets to watch that.
It was laughably poor, actually, and the signing appears to me he looks like a player who is trying to do what he can only do. His limit is what Ollie Tomlinson does, but he
Yeah.
is less good at it than Ollie Tomlinson is, and Ollie Tomlinson's not that good, right? But he is clearly wants to be the ball playing version of centre back that we see. He clearly wants to be not like physical, winning every header, blah blah blah, but sort of calm and composing the ball, but he's not calm and composing the ball, and he gets bullied all the time. And Tomlinson, I'm afraid, on Saturday was all of that and worse. We know Marshall's not very good. I think he is one of our best three centre backs, annoyingly, but he's terrible. And Dean Moxey, bless him, is not going to win games on his own anymore. And yeah, we've got three bad defenders.
I like Dean Moxey. I do like him, but you know, he's what, 39 now. He shouldn't be playing every week for whatever, regardless of the level. I like Ollie Tomlinson. I think he will develop into a good player, but it's a little bit like, and I'm not about to say he's as good as the person I'm about to sort of mention, but when we have Mark Ellis come through, when he was at that stage, he was sort of playing second fiddle to the likes of Steve Woods and Chris Todd. You then had your Chris Robertsons and your Brian Sarrs that can educate and help him out. Ollie Tomlinson, yeah, okay, sort of Dean Moxey to a degree, but you know, when Ross Marshall is the person that you're kind of learning from, you do think, okay, right, okay.
That's the problem. He appears to be central to our defensive setup in that every time Mark Housedale gets a goal kick, Tomlinson's in the box. He's either taking the kick or getting the ball off him. And you know, aside from even the defensive side, he's not good enough at distributing the ball to do that, I don't think. But we do appear to have built our whole build up around Tomlinson, and then you know, he gives the ball away for one of the goals, the third goal. On Saturday, he on Tuesday he was completely dominated by the Taunton's play, Taunton's forwards. He's not good enough at defending, and he's not good enough at passing. I'm sorry. Like, I agree, if he was a peripheral figure who was being brought through, I'd have a lot more time for it. But it's a massive failure of our football club that we've got him as a key figure in our defence, because he's not good enough to do that.
Well, the thing is, none of them are. None of them are. And
No.
that's what concerns me. I mean, I am now in a position, I genuinely don't know if we can stay up or not. I think we're fortunate that there are worse teams. But I think we're going to do a lot of reliance on other teams to play them badly. And we are going to be overly reliant on, well, we need to get a couple of wins. I think 2 wins probably see us all right.
Yeah, but we've only got 3 home games left, and we've won 3 away from home all season in the league. So we aren't going to win. It doesn't feel likely that we'll win an away game. And yeah, then you're just hoping that you can win 2 or 3 at home. But can you? Because we've been done by Taunton and Truro at home, and they're both below us in the league. I've got no faith in that, I'm afraid.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm kind of not in a horrible way, but I'm really, really, really hoping that Taunton and Truro get some kind of disciplinary for the amount of games they've had to call off, because it's that's got to be punished. You know, if we're getting punished for administration, which isn't our fault, then something that is in their control, that should I mean, that's ridiculous, the amount of games that they've called off this season.
Yeah, I think you hope that at a minimum, you hope that it catches up with them, and they've got to play so many games in so many days, and they're playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and they just don't get any points. But I actually do think that there needs to be some intervention from the league to say, right, you've got to play them all away from home, or you get 3 points deducted per game you can't play. And
I mean, I think they should have a deduction anyway, but
yeah.
for the inconvenience caused to other teams.
Yeah, that's reasonable. We still need to play both away from home, I think, don't we? So, I mean,
Yes.
God
Yeah, we've
knows where
definitely
that's
got
going to be.
Taunton's coming up.
Yeah, and we were meant to play Truro over Christmas, weren't we? And that never happened. So away. So,
Yes, right.
yeah. I mean, I do think that is a real problem with, arguably, with the integrity of the league. That if teams are getting so many games in hand by the end of the season, I'm just looking now, they've got. Truro got 5 games in hand on us. That is out of control, really, isn't it?
And you know, we're what, 10 days away from April, the last month of the season,
Yeah.
and it's we live in southwest England, or the south of England. It's going to rain again.
Yeah. But also, it should be quite easy to, compared to the rest of the country, it should be quite easy to maintain a pitch in the south of England. But yeah. It probably does sound a bit like we've got some sour grapes, and we're just trying desperately to scrabble enough points together to stay up. But I do think that that is a problem for the league, and they need to have a word, really.
Some, yeah, they've got to look at it. So yeah, I mean, we've got Devon Day Saturday. What are you? I'm gonna guess you might be on the same page as me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I know your thoughts. I think, and I agree with them really. I really listen. Lovely idea. Really happy to see people, the football family, all of that. But it feels to me, well, listen, I don't want to be patronised by those football clubs, and I know they're not doing it to patronise us. But it, I just don't like. I really dislike people turning up to talking matches in Plymouth shirts like we had a couple of weeks ago, and that being like, oh, it's all fine because they're all helping us. It just grinds my gears really. And I think in an ideal world, we'd be good enough that they would care about us being a threat. And the problem is they don't care about us being a threat or anywhere near it, you know. So yeah, it irks me. But probably, if I'm being mature about it, people coming from Ivy Bridge or, you know, Kingstainton, it's very, very, we're very grateful for their support and their £20. And it obviously will go towards paying footballers' wages. So we sort of have to say thanks very much, but it doesn't fill me with great joy.
Yeah. So I mean, it's similar to me. So I'm grateful for anyone coming over to support and help out. I'm more worried about the staff's wages. The way the players have been recently, I won't lose any sleep if they go unpaid. Sorry. But yeah, Plymouth fans coming over and Exeter fans kind of going, "Oh yeah, we'll help you out." The comparison, it's like asking your brother for money. You just don't want to do it, do you? You just don't.
You have to be
You know,
desperate.
I think what really wound me up, and I'm not sure if they were trying to get bites out of people, but Exeter just put up a tweet going, "Oh, go and support some of our non-league neighbours this weekend." And I'm like, "Stay in your fucking lane,
Yeah, and they
lads."
put like Willand and fucking, you know,
Yeah, honestly,
off.
they're loving that. Some of their fans, they love it. And look, I get, like I say, I'm grateful for support and all that, and I get what they're trying to do, but. We were your cup final. We were your absolute cup final about 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Don't pretend, you know, it's your second season in League One. It won't last. You'll be back down. You'll be struggling in League Two. Stay in your lane. Honestly, the day that they get into non-league, you better believe I'm having my fun with it. Because it. But having said that, any Exeter or Argyle who are listening to this, of course, you're more than welcome. It'd be great to have your support, but. Don't patronize me. I'm
Yeah,
not in the mood.
no, I agree, and I'm pleased that it's okay to say that sort of thing because I do, yeah, I do feel a whole lot of the social media stuff and what people have been saying recently have been like extremely positive about everything. Oh, aren't we sending nice tweets and aren't we getting on with everyone? Isn't it lovely to shake hands? No, it's not. I'd quite like to go back to a time where talking about it wasn't the sort of pathetic, pitied,
Yeah.
sort of charity case in the corner, and that was much more fun when we could be, you know, have proper rivalries, and yeah, and also take the piss out of Plymouth being shit. That was fun,
Oh, that was great. What a time that was.
yeah, exactly. And I know that they've helped us out in the past, and they'll help us out again. But those were the best times of my life being a Torquay fan, was watching them be shit and us be good in the same league, and
Oh, that
I'd
was
rather that.
glorious.
Exactly.
That was glorious. And you know, if things go well over the next couple of months, who knows what the future will be. We could be in a position where that will become a reality again. I'm just looking at the next few games. I think we could get 6 points out of the next three. I really do. I think we can beat Hampton on Saturday.
Just obviously I know because I've done my research, but just for the listener, who have we got coming up, Sam?
So obviously, I'm not just looking at this for the first time,
No, you
and
wouldn't
I'm
be, would you?
well informed as well. So we've got Hampton on Saturday and Richmond. So we've got to beat two sides.
That's
Now,
tough.
we can't lose to a team that are called the Beavers.
Okay. I've seen us lose to a team called the Beavers this season. They played us off the park up there. Sean Donnellan played in the number 10 role shortly before he departed us.
Is that what got in
It's
the move?
well,
Wait, this guy plays number 10 as well.
it may well have been that versatility that got in the move to Livingston, but We were appalling, and if they play anything like that and we play anything like that, they'll batter us. But who knows? Hopefully we should play better. But I mean, I can't put any money on that.
Yeah, well, I don't want to see us lose to a team called the Beavers. The following week we've got Yeovil. I'm not going to go there. I don't like Yeovil. I don't want to put money in their pockets. I begrudge every bit of success that team will have. I don't like the owner. I don't like the manager. I don't like the fans.
Yeah,
I'm not going. I'm not putting money into their club.
that's absolutely fair enough and reasonable. I haven't decided if I'm going to go yet, but it just all stinks, and they're going to love it, aren't they? And obviously, so would we if our you know if the roles were reversed and we were pissing the league, and they were in the shit. Of course, we would give it the beans. But yeah, it's going to be a depressing afternoon, regardless.
Yeah, and then the next game, I'm not going to go too far ahead, but the next game is home to Western, and I think that's a game we've got to be winning that. So I think you look at it, we've got three home games. I think we should win all three of them. And the last game of the season is home, and that's at home to Havant. And then the other ones, we've got some winnable games. So I mean, look, I think we'll just about be all right, but it depends. Now, obviously, elephant in the room is what's going on with, administration, ownership. I can't say too much at the moment because mostly because I just haven't had a chance to kind of catch up and everything. The Supporters Trust are doing an awful lot. Like, I mean, some of these guys are effectively working this as another full-time job. Some people are giving up the ridiculous amounts of time. And having some re they're having some well I say though we're all having some really good conversations at the moment. I'm sure more details will be released and everything. All I would say is it is just so important. If you're not already, just join the Supporters Trust and await kind of further news. It's £2 a month, 50p a week. It's not really just the money, it's the strength in numbers we need at the moment. So keep joining, and if you happen to know someone who's got like a couple of million quid somewhere, just I mean, it's a terrible investment, but it might be fun.
I mean, I would hope that everyone who's listening to this, if they did know someone with a couple of million pounds, would have asked the question by now. But if not, then obviously do. I can obviously echo that. I know, Sam, that you work much more closely with the trust than most of us. But the clearly, they are the only body who are actively representing fans in any of these conversations. And we've learned the hard way over the last 7 years what happens when fans don't get fairly represented and don't get fair treatment, and what happens when ownership who don't take that into consideration get in. And we need to make sure that whatever happens over the next few months or weeks, that we are at the table. And the best way to for the trust to be at the table and to have that conversation is to have a strong membership that behind them, and proper mandate from the football fans. So you will have heard this on this podcast before, but if you're not already a member of the trust, then absolutely do be.
The last thing I wanted to add, now I don't like the Conservative Party. It's a bit of a secret I've kept for the last few years.
Do
I
you have been
think
keeping, I mean, you have, what have you been doing this afternoon, Sam, just to ask?
I've been playing golf today.
Was that
You know
with
what
Craig
golf?
Foster?
No, he was I'm not going to make that joke. He was busy. You know what golf stands for though, don't you?
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
Anyway. But despite that, that I'm not a huge fan of that party, I am pleased that the legislation for the fans-led review has gone through. It's just nice to see that, and that was a cross-party thing. They'll take all the credit, but that was a cross-party thing. But it's great to see that going through, and just backs up our thing of giving supporters a bit more of a voice. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of it was kind of due to the Super League, but it does really help the clubs down, but further down in the pyramid. So yeah, that was a nice bit of news. It's not often you hear nice things coming out of Westminster.
Absolutely, and even less so, I think, when sport is concerned. So yeah, that is absolutely a good thing. By the sounds of things, it will give fans more of a representation in discussions around football governance, and that's obviously a good thing. And hopefully, if there is the independent body which has been suggested by it, there will be the sport will be run in a fairer way, and hopefully we'll see some benefit of that down the pyramid. Obviously, it depends how far down the pyramid we are by that point. But yeah, that should be good for all football fans, even Plymouth fans and Tories. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got too much more to add. The football's so bad at the moment, we don't want to be talking too much about it. Have you got anything?
I just wanted to mention George Edwards. I'm going to shamelessly plug my old man's article that is published today about George Edwards. He on Talky Talk, sorry to plug that, but he is really? Obviously still at the club. He's obviously still at the club, George Edwards, and no one's, well, maybe some people are more sure than others why. But at Tunbridge on Saturday, he sat by himself in a sort of mini. There was a small stand where clearly directors and commentators and the press were, and he was sitting by himself, separate from Thea and other Talky representatives, and a number of Talky fans, I have to say myself included, confronted him about the ongoing situation, and he was so stony faced and keen to act like he didn't realise we were there. It was quite extraordinary. He just literally looked through us, and the article details a couple of conversations with people who have worked with George Edwards, Mark from the Travel Club, and somebody who worked with the community support trust that would do the stuff with the kids, sort of Frank Princey type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll let you read it for yourself, but the insights on that in that article are quite damning about George Edwards's influence on our football club and his attitude to Talk United fans and his the way that he runs the club in completely his image. And I think that it is worth bearing in mind throughout all of this that he is the best mate, or was the best mate, or has been the best mate of the person who has left us in this dire position. And we are very much not safe until, in my opinion, until he is long out of the football club.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone speak so well about someone who is a
yeah, well, fine. I've got some words written down that are ruder than that, but yes, he is a complete
I don't use that word lightly.
No.
And what's amazing is in a team full of beavers coming down on Saturday, he will be the of everyone.
Very nice.
Just thought of that one. What, proud of that?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, though. He is just a disease on this football club, and has been since he's been there. I've never known such a vile person to be working in the effectively in the public eye. I say that this government have been pretty bad, but I'd almost say it's just as bad as some of them. But it's shocking. It is shocking. I'm looking forward to giving that a read because I've heard a lot of it, and even as part of the trust, he's been so difficult to work with. So difficult. Don't get me wrong, I have my opinions on, I'm not going to name certain other directors there. You can work out who it is, listener. It's not George and it's not Clark I'm talking about. But I do sometimes think maybe they've been influenced a little bit too much. Now, don't get me wrong, she's in business sense, got into bed with the wrong people. I couldn't possibly comment on what her and George get up to. Not going to throw out allegations like that. But she's got into bed with them, and I don't trust her. But yeah, George is just a vile, vile man. And I'm genuinely excited to see the back of him. Not in that way, but I'm genuinely excited to see the back of him out, away from this football club. And I never want to, whoever comes in and says, just give the man a lifetime stadium ban.
Oh, can you imagine? And that is the day for celebration when he walks out of a football club.
What a way for a new owner to win over a fan base. Just go, yeah, really excited to be taken over, blah, blah, blah. Just so you know, at the bottom of the statement, George Edwards is hereby banned from playing more for life.
You are not welcome. Thank you.
See ya.
Great. Yes. Well, I'd vote for it, Sam. Yeah.
Well, I will put that to people that I speak to.
Do. Absolutely do. In your position of power.
Well, you know, not as much power as I'd like in life, but you know, we'll work on that.
We'll get there.
Look, it's been, despite the football, a really enjoyable podcast, short and sweet, because I do have a meeting to go on to, which is exciting.
Excellent.
I hope. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Sam. Good to chat as always.
Always a pleasure. And yeah, let's hope we get stuck into those beavers.
Yes, we break their dam or something. Yeah,
Yeah,
we're
something
good.
like that.
Yeah.